Welcome to the Hoops Biz series of podcasts by Shooting the Breeze. I'm your host, Paul Camillos. We've been wanting to look at the business side of women's hoops in depth for some time. Now, with women's sports getting more attention and seeing significant growth, we felt it was time to look at the business of basketball in depth and get a better understanding of where things are at, the challenges facing the game, and the opportunities that are available. Make sure to subscribe and share the pods with anyone you know who wants to know more about Hoops Biz. Welcome to Shooting the Breeze. Today we're in our third episode, volume three of our Hoops Biz podcast, and we're really honored and very lucky to be joined by Noah Hasegawa, who is the brand marketing manager for Molten. Now, we actually met several years ago at the Women's World Cup here in Australia.
Yeah.
And it's great to be able to speak to you again, Noah. How have you been?
Cool, yeah. We started like an initiative in Australia, and actually this evolved. And next year is, you know, Women's Basketball World Cup in Germany. So yeah, there's a lot of things happening now. Yeah. Exciting.
Yeah, look, I'm sure. One of the things that I found very interesting finding out about Molten when I was doing my research is Molten is FIBA's longest standing partner.
Already, I think, 40 years plus. Yeah. Now.
Yeah, 40 plus.
Yeah.
Which, you know, in this day and age is really quite extraordinary. And I think it obviously speaks a lot to the way that Molten and FIBA, you know, relate and work together.
Yeah.
So how do you, in your role, work through, you know, and work through the relationship?
So, yeah, I think we have long-standing partner with FIBA, and I think there's like a three key element we continue with this relationship. One is like a product itself. So we produce basketball.
Yes.
And we try, you know, to improve, you know, functionality, and also like a design itself to keep engaged, not only players happy, also you know, team and managers and spectators. So in terms of current our basketball model, we frequently change like a functionality, and now like establish like the function that less slippery and easy to grip because of the surface is we change from time to time. To realize like a playability with the player. And also when we change like a product itself, we do like a monitor test with players that selected by FIBA. And also we work really close to FIBA, venue and equipment team. So then we have like a feedback with them. And also, you know, we try to change our, you know, functionality. And in terms of, you know, visibility of a ball, as you may know, our ball, Molten basketball has like a cross section,
yes,
which is like a design by Italian designer Giallo. And actually, this you know cross section really work in the arena because people can see how you know ball is you know circulated when go to the hoop. So visibility is also one of key element from our product. So the continue you know improving our product quality is one key element we continue partnership with FIBA. And second one is, as you know, we met each other in the Women's Basketball World Cup.
Yes.
We tried to go beyond what FIBA expected. So, you know, usually when we have contract, we got like a contract light, like you can stream your promotion video in arena and you can put LED board in, you know, arena. But what we want to do is we want to change or improve environment people play basketball. So the one key initiative with FIBA we now implement is like how we can engage women player to continue basketball. So this is something we propose to FIBA and FIBA agree and we work together toward this one. And third key point is it's not big one, but it's really important, which is like a delivery, the product. So sometimes it's really difficult to deliver the product, the match ball to the country that is difficult to access. However, we have, you know, global network with distributors. So we rely on and work together the distributors, and we actually kind of provide and deliver ball before competition started. So this is really important, because if there is no ball, FIBA cannot operate the game. Yeah. So like a logistic point of view is really important. That's, I think, three key element is, I think, evaluated well in FIBA.
Yeah, because I remember there was a lot of attention at the event at the World Cup here in Australia, where there were a lot of the previous Opals were at the event.
Mm-hmm.
And there were champions selected to participate in that event as well. And I remember, you know, that day there was a lot of talk around the facilities about mm-hmm. this event and how big it was going to be. So it obviously resonated with FIBA, because in some time back, actually it was during the draw for the World Cup,
mm-hmm.
we spoke to Andreas Zaglis, the Secretary General of FIBA, and he connected us with Lena Wallenkansi, who was leading women's basketball initiatives at the time. And it seemed to me that there was being a really big shift in women's basketball, and the attention FIBA was putting on women's basketball at that time. And it looks to me that it's grown. And obviously, Moulton has really joined in on that effort and really trying to help to grow the game, the women's game globally.
Yeah. So FIBA has like a three key strategic pillar now. This is like a long-term vision. Yeah. Among the three, there is a women in basketball, and empower national federations, and shape international club competition. So this is a three key priority, and FIBA really empower these initiatives across the world.
And from your perspective, I mean, from the perspective of Moulton,
mm-hmm.
how have you as an organization seen the changes happening? Because obviously, you know, in different regions, it'll improve at different paces.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, how are you seeing the engagement of the women's game and its growth, given the impetus that FIBA is giving it?
Yeah, I think this is our business. The business is really important for us. So if you look at different sports, football, you can see the most spectator they got is, I think, Women's World Cup.
Yes.
Beside, you know, men's and WNBA and, you know, other Europe competition, there's a lot of people now watching the women's football.
Yeah.
And this, you know, the trend is come to, you know, big market like a WNBA, and I think WNBL as well. So getting people really more excited about the women's game. Flip back our, you know, business, we are not really touching on that area, but if you look at the data, it's for example, like registration of women basketball player,
yes.
actually they drop out early 20s. So this is not a good situation. Of course, there is like a priority when, you know, the lifestyle change, but we want to really engage people to keep connecting basketball. So this is like our philosophy. We work together with FIBA, and from business side, if, you know, women drop out but come back to the play basketball, we want them to choose our product.
Sure.
That, you know, they flick back to our business as well. So number of registration and number of like people who support player is really important, because we produce not only basketball but also other sporting equipment.
Yeah. And I want to talk about that later, because again, while I was doing my research, there was some really interesting products that Moulton has that we've never seen in Australia before. And we will get to that. But before we do, I think it's kind of important for people to get a bit of a feel for, you know, your background as well. Now, I do remember one little piece of information that you shared with me. And the reason I remember it, it stuck in my head, was we went for a family holiday to Japan, and we actually stayed in Nakameguro. And I remember, I quickly mentioned that to you. You told me that you were working there.
Yeah.
And I think it was it for Danone?
Yeah, Danone, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it was like, it was that building that I would see every day when I was sitting at the train station. We were waiting to go just across the river from the train station. And so I suppose for our audience, how have you gone from, you know, obviously, you know, study, eventually ended up at Danone, and now mm-hmm. at Molten, where yep. you're really spearheading Molten's relationship with FIBA and the world so that they could get a picture of how you've gotten to this position.
Right. So this is like a long story, but I will do it short. Actually, I started my professional career when I was 18, was professional football player.
Okay.
It's a soccer. It's like, yes. you know, football is yep. different in Australia. So I was a soccer player in Mexico, actually.
Okay.
I was, 19. And I play football in Japan. It's like a youth team mm-hmm. of professional league. But yeah. I couldn't go into like a professional team. So I needed to change my career, football career.
Yes.
And I really wanted the pro. And I look for like a, some space I can do like a tryout and reach the Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no relationship, no connection in that area. I went, you know, club office, yes. which is like located next to the stadium. And I handed over my football career, and actually I got trial and succeed. I could join the team. And that is my, you know, start of like a sporting career.
Okay.
And then, yeah. But actually, I couldn't continue so longer. I moved to team in Mexico and moved to Germany. And I decided I will not go with like a professional level. And mm-hmm. then turned to my career, professional career, to like a marketing.
Yes.
And I started marketing position in Japan, Japanese company, which is produced like a vinegar and mm-hmm. Japanese condiment. And yeah. And then I got like a opportunity to work abroad in UK and the US.
Okay.
And then there is opportunity to move back in Danone Japan.
Mm-hmm.
So that is my like a professional career. So in some space of my, you know, emotion, I want to do like a sport. I want to work to like a sports industry.
Yes.
In the future, and when I look for like a job, next job, while I working in Danone, the Molten comes up, so I apply
yep.
that position.
Fantastic! It's always interesting to hear the story of how people have ended up where they are. What I found really interesting in what you're saying is you've gone to Mexico, you knocked on the door, and you
yeah.
handed over your resume, and they said, yeah, sure, we'll give you a tryout. It's actually very reminiscent of a story that we've heard from an Australian female coach, Liz Mills, who was the first woman to coach a men's national team in Africa. She was traveling in Africa, and she said, can I have an opportunity to coach this practice? And she did. And they were so impressed with her that the club hired her as a team. So you're telling that story, and I'm thinking, you know, this is something that probably happens more often than we realize.
Yeah, I think there's also like a coincidence. After, you know, I joined Molten and lead like a women's basketball initiative.
Yeah.
And actually there is opportunity that the women's U17 Women's World Cup happened in Mexico. And
yes.
that city is where I play. So I actually, when I visited that city, and I, you know, again, I knocked the door in that club, and, you know, people welcome me. So it's really, you know, heartwarming moment for me.
And I think that's one of the things that's really great about sport. It actually
yeah.
helps people to connect, because you've got a love of the sport, and it kind of transcends anything else, which is... it's really amazing, and yeah. it's one of those things that really helps people connect with sport.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so we did talk about the history of Molten. There's mm-hmm. a few things that I do want to touch on that, because the company, from my reading, started off, was established. They did their first sports ball, which I believe was a dodgeball, from what I could see on the – and I'm only going from the photo on the website.
Yeah.
And then
maybe.
literally months later, you had your first basketball out.
Yeah.
So it's like basketball's been pretty much at the core of Molten right yep. from the start.
Yeah.
Because it was after that Molten started to get involved in other areas like automotive.
Mm. Yep.
And so how important is basketball to the core and the culture of Molten, given that it's literally one of those launch pad products?
Yeah, so the Molten is like a company strength in rubber and resin. Mm.
Yes.
So all division, not only sport division, but also, you know, automotive and healthcare and industry foundation is standing on that, you know, material strengths. And basketball, actually, as you know, as we talk, we have long standing partner with FIBA. So this is really cool. Because we want to provide high quality ball every year that used globally. And the people's expectation is really high.
Mm.
So we develop product, which is really expected to the good product. And we always kind of feel basketball in daily, you know, job.
Yes.
That we have like a headquarter in Hiroshima,
mm.
which called like a technical center. And we actually have basketball court in our office. So people can play, people, you know, development team can, you know, test in the court.
Yeah.
This is like a naturally rooted our little, you know, cultures.
Mm. It's, and from that, I kind of think about, please don't take this question the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
You guys have put so much effort and research and development into basketball. Sometimes I really wonder why I don't see Molten everywhere, like being, I mean, I know, for example, we use, like, my daughter's got a Molten basketball. I've still got the one that came from the World Cup draw mm-hmm. sitting in my office. It's like there seems to be this, it's almost like there's division lines in terms of the product used by different leagues and different countries. And I suppose people, from my perspective, I'm curious, how is it that these sorts of divisions evolve? Because, you know, not to give too much airtime to your opposition, but like Wilson's come from, like, they're predominantly tennis and they do basketball.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, how does a company like yours make inroads into countries, clubs, national sporting organizations, to be able to grow the breadth of use of your products?
I think, yeah, Molten is a Japanese company, and I think some custom affect our business model.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually, our business model is like a contract model. Mm-hmm. So we contract with the, you know, the top organization like FIBA.
Yes.
And then we contracted with FIBA. There's opportunity to introduce each member association, member mm-hmm. federations.
Yep.
Because when the World Cup happened, people need to play with our ball. This, you know, yes. cascading down is like our business model. And mm-hmm. especially in Asia, there is a, how to say, school-oriented club team.
Yes.
Is yep. really developed. I think European country is different. It's more public-related basketball club. But yep. in Asia, it's like a school-oriented. So
mm-hmm.
we have strong relationship with school organization.
Yes.
So that contract is quite naturally flow our product penetration.
Yeah.
And the challenge we face right now, which is my job, is how we can increase our brand locally, because we have contract, but we don't have much brand awareness some area. So okay. having, you know, initiative like FIBA, how we can make people's attention. Molten, you know, Molten was seen in the FIBA Basketball World Cup and the other Continental Cup, but not mm. daily life. So
yes.
how we can make aware and they want to use Molten is really important.
Obviously, you know, it's a real challenge because you've got so many different markets to look at.
Mm-hmm.
Do you tend to try and focus on particular geographical areas, or do you try and grow market equally across the board?
Yeah, we have like a target countries, but mm-hmm. not specific continent we okay. priorities. So, you know, sometimes, especially for Asia, like for example, yeah. Thailand, which is like a football country, it's not basketball.
Yes.
So we like a balancing out the characteristic and sport penetration in each countries and prioritize which countries we prioritize which sports.
And I'm assuming that one of the things that the company would be looking at, you'd be looking at, is countries where the growth of basketball is beginning. I mean, one of the countries that comes to mind for me is India.
Mm-hmm.
India really is not known as a basketball country, but I know we're aware that the interest in the game is growing. From your perspective, how do you see the growth in countries like India, who have traditionally been, for India specifically, it's been cricket predominantly. But basketball seems to be starting to gain a foothold.
Yeah, I think this is really important things to watching, like a general penetration of sports. And one country we are now proceeding hands-on is Indonesia. Because, you know, Indonesia, there was, you know, Basketball World Cup happening in Indonesia, Philippines, Japan. And, you know, FIBA has like an office in Indonesia. And we also have distributors there. But what we now working is we transfer Japanese people to more hands-on, how we can cultivate that area. Indonesia is actually that football countries, but we also seeking opportunity which sports we can introduce in the country. So having that success, we can, you know, reflect different country like India or other countries.
And Indonesia is an interesting case because they're also on the tour for the 3x3. And I know we were looking at the 3x3 that was played there not that long ago. And it seemed to be like a really well-attended game. There seemed to be a lot of people there. How are you finding that 3x3 is helping the growth of the sport in across the world?
Yeah, I think like two side. The one is easy to organize the team because three plus people. And another thing is, how to say, it's like there's like no coach, right? So they're, you know, pushing the people's growth.
Yes.
So these two elements is really good penetrate the other sports because, you know, sports is not only, you know, physically developed, not only that, I think more like emotionally or psychologically on the, as a human, growth is really important. So 3xE is a good format and, you know, team easy can organize and actually like it's like an event, like a festival. It's like entertaining. Yeah.
Now, as I mentioned before, we're going to talk about some products that we haven't seen here in Australia. Yeah. Now, one of the ones that I found when I looked at it on the website, I was shocked because I thought, this is such a brilliant product. Why has nobody thought of it before? Why don't we have it in Australia? Which is the B Plus product that you have.
Thank you.
Which is
Thank you for mentioning.
Fundamentally, it's basically a half court that you can put in a trailer and take wherever you want with balls, a trolley for the balls, timer. It's basically unload it, set it up, and away to go. First question is, who came up with this idea? Because it's brilliant.
So in Moreton, there's like every year, there's a business community. Like people can think and present the new business. So B Plus is happening from this community.
Okay.
And the concept of B Plus is strength and penetration. So there's actually two products in B Plus. And strength is already like established in the other countries. It's like a shooting machine. Like a gun other brand. So the ball is, you know, automatically comes to the player and the people can shoot. Like automatic way. So that is a shooting machine. The another one is game unit, which is like a all-in-one package of 3x3.
Yes.
So I think this is a great idea. And this is actually like a separate 252 set, like a square, 90 centimeters square. And there's 252 panels. And people can easily like connect each panels. Actually, there's an order and you can, I think two adult, it takes like 2 hours, but you know, if you organize a 3x3 court, there's more people. Actually, we did in Germany, women's basketball, women's Eurobasket. I think it takes like 30 minutes. So easy to set up and easy to put the goal and there's, you know, the ball and timers. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was the thing that really surprised me when I was looking around the website. I thought, what's this B Plus thing? And I went in and I was like, this, because, you know, obvious, one of the things that we have a real problem with here in Australia is a significant shortage of court space. It's one of the things that is inhibiting the growth of the game. And when I saw it, I thought, this is such a brilliant product. It's, you can pull it apart, put it in a trailer, move it to where you want. and then set it up and away you go, and you've got people playing. And unless I'm trusting my memory here, but I think you also have, there's different models of the B plus, the court.
So half court and like a full court.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the and to me, I think about that and it's like, it's the sort of thing you could actually just sort of roll pretty much anywhere that you've got the physical space and the height.
Yeah.
And you could set up a basketball court. So obviously the first question I want to ask about this is, how popular is the product?
Yeah, we started like this project from Japan, and now we are penetrating the country. Like in Europe, we already introduced Germany and Poland, it's such other countries. And Oceania, we like currently introduce to in Australia distributors. And also I have actually like the meeting with New Zealand Federation, because they have program which called Kiwi Hoops, which is putting on a basketball hoop in the park. But there is no, you know, established like a court there.
Yes.
So from, you know, safety point, it would be better to have this kind of product. So yeah, we try now starting like introducing this product.
And I'm guessing that you're getting positive responses from everybody who's seeing it.
Yeah. So there's a two pattern. One is lease and another is like a purchasing that, you know, game unit. So if, you know, distributor has game unit, they can lease.
Okay.
And another one is if you want, you know, use that game unit as a business, they can buy as well. So it's a two type.
So the full court also can be pulled apart and put back together, can put together, transported and put together. Yeah. So literally, it gives pretty much any organization that wants to try and get basketball happening.
Yeah. Anyway.
An opportunity to be able to set up either a half court or a full court. So the materials at the court surface, and this is just my curiosity now, what sort of materials is the court surface made of?
It's a material, it's a polypropylene.
Polypropylene, okay.
Yeah. And the surface is unique.
Mm-hmm.
It's less slippery and less hard. So if people slip in the floor, the material is, how to say, it's like a design is like a, how to say, it's hard to injure.
Okay, yeah, it's cushioning.
Yeah, cushioning.
Okay.
And rounded, like a rounded corner for like a scratch resistant.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. So, look, sorry, I'm still like surprised that this is not like one of the world's most popular products in the world in basketball space, just because, as I said, we know full well here in Australia, there's such a shortage of courts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have kids, you know, 15, 16 years old, having games scheduled at 9 o'clock at night, just because there's just not enough courts for games to be played. To me, this also, having the ability to have more court space, I think would probably be one of those things that could potentially help continue to keep girls in the sport, because there's not that competition for the court time. And on top of that, there's the ability to be able to set up a court somewhere and the girls can just go on and play without necessarily having, you know, there's the boys waiting for their game to come along. And so it increases their comfort at playing the sport because they're just playing the game with other girls or women.
Yeah.
Is that something that you think is a potential benefit from the product?
Yeah. So yeah, creating new, you know, place to play is really important, because sometimes girls wait, boys finish play. So I think the challenge we face is we manufacture that product.
Yeah.
But who and how operate is really important, you know. So we need people who learn project, because this is rooted community. So I think having that, you know, this gap is really, we need to make it close.
Mm. Yeah, again, I suppose it's one of the things that, as with all sports, innovation tends to be slow because this is the game. This is the way the game has always been. And so sometimes until you see a product like this, you don't necessarily get a vision of other opportunities that fall outside what you're typically used to seeing. So, you know, people think, we've got to have a big facility, they've got to have three or four courts in there. Well, that's not necessarily the case now. This could be something like, okay, a school or somewhere that's got, you know, a car park or something like that. could be set up for a weekend to be able to for people to play. And I'm assuming that the court surface is weather resistant, so that if it does rain while the court's set up, it's not going to damage anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it tends to open things up. And I think it's one of those things where being aware of the product, it changes the thought process, because most people, as I said, you think about it traditionally until you see something where you go, aha, this is a really interesting way of doing things. And I mean, I suppose following on from that point about the innovation, one of the other things, and I couldn't find a translation of the article. There was an article about you in Forbes that came out. There was they were talking about you being an intrapreneur.
Ah, yes.
So I'm kind of curious about that, mm-hmm. and I'm kind of curious about how that's manifested itself within the initiatives that Molten's taken on.
Yeah, this is like my outside of activity, I would say. Mm-hmm. Or I said I lead Women in Basketball, Women's Sports initiative in Japan, which is actually I wanted to do, and I proposed to the company to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because as you say, there's a dropout rate is double versus boys, and dropout really early stage. I think this is sad, because I couldn't play football player when I was 18, but I tried and knocking the door in Mexico, and I did. Mm. So if you continue play, not professional level, but enjoy the sports, you can have lot of opportunity to grow yourself. So I want to change this, situation and engage with FIBA and study like an initiative, and this continue. Now it's 4 years, and we will, announce with FIBA for maybe 2 or 3 months ago, later. We also have like an initiative for Basketball World Cup, which is engaged all across the world and people, women who work in basketball. So like a small, my challenge, or, what you think about the problem, and I make action. And that is really important, and that making it bigger. So that was picked by like a Forbes Japan as a like an entrepreneur. And, other same, guys and ladies, encourage me to do. So, yeah.
Because, one of the things that I've always found has been, until very recently, mm-hmm. people look at women's basketball and it's always been kind of, it's girl basketball. Mm-hmm. It's not like, well, no, they're great athletes. They are really, really good. And they're not getting the opportunities of other sports. That equity doesn't exist, or it has not existed. That is changing now. And I think, obviously initiatives like that one, where you're trying to keep people engaged more in the sport, women engaged longer in the sport, is really important. And also making people realize that, okay, if you're in a position where you can't, or, you can't play anymore, there are other opportunities within the sport for you to be able to stay engaged. Whether it's refereeing, whether it's administration, whether it's statistical, there's so many more other opportunities. So it's great to hear that not only are there opportunities like this being developed, but also that, companies like Molten are getting behind it and supporting it, and that FIBA is also adding that to the other initiatives that they've got underway for growing women's basketball. How's it been going?
Yeah, I think we want to let girls know there are a lot of route they can proceed, not only players, but also, refereeing officials, coach, a lot. And actually, FIBA has a really good network about these things. For example, we met Israel when Women's Eurobasket happened. They introduced one referee. Her name is Mai Forsberg. She officiated WNBA finals this year.
Wow.
She started as a player.
Okay.
And she changed her career as a referee when I think she's like a college. We are good friends. And this is something you can see and feel. But, the girls, like a teenage, they really like play a lot. and like more physical. But as a molten and fever, we need to show there's a lot of route they can choose. Yeah, that is one. And the initiative with fever is rooted that. So we want to increase basketball player and we want to educate and develop a referee and the coach. We want to increase the fund of women's basketball. So what we now doing is this year, we like organize working group in each regional office, like FIBA Europe, FIBA Asia, FIBA China, FIBA Americas, and engage them and engage member federation to understand the situation and comes up with the ideas what we can solve that situation. So this is like a first session we did in Eurobasket, America Cup and Asia Cup this year. Mm-hmm. So we will develop like a similar project towards Basketball World Cup.
Okay.
So actually, yeah, in Americas, there is Carol Karam, owner's president of FIBA Americas. She's actually a math teacher.
Yeah.
And she was like a director of USA Basketball. And we like a tackle with dropout this year. And she and, you know, FIBA Americas comes up with like a toolkit, which is already introduced in the FIBA America Midterm Congress. And using that toolkit, we will ideate like a solutions in the World Cup.
It's great hearing these initiatives are taking place. I know that there's some initiatives that have been undertaken as part of that came out of the World Cup and the legacy program that came out of the World Cup held here, which are doing really, really well. So it's great to see that it's coming from different directions to try and get women to stay engaged with the game. I think it's one of those things that unfortunately, you know, there's been probably opportunities missed in the past, but it's great to see that it's getting that level of engagement, not only, you know, from FIBA and from at the regional level, but also getting commercial backing as well. Because commercial backing actually does provide a level of legitimacy to the eyes of people who are outside the sport and don't necessarily understand how things work internally. How do you see that this helps broaden Molten's the view of Molten in the world?
Yeah, we actually changed our brand statement last year.
Okay,
and the previous brand statement was for the Rio game, which is like sticking our like a contract, our business model. We, you know, polish our product, high quality product for the like a top competition, top athlete. But now we have feel the emotion, so we redefine what is the value of sports. And we found out the value of sports is emotion. Win or lose is really important, but the emotion is sometimes positive and sometimes negative. But feeling the emotion is much more important to people grow and game grow. Thinking about this statement with business, we really stick on ball business. So we want to expand our business, not only balls, but also sporting equipment.
Okay.
To do that, we need to solve like a social issue like this women in basketball. And having that initiative, we expand network and we will have much more insight that makes us develop product and penetrate using our network. So this is kind of long process, but we don't want to do like a one quick idea to implement. We want to really know the situation, talk with people and comes up great idea and execute with great network.
Obviously, this is an initiative that just said it's not a quick initiative. It's a long-term initiative. And look, to a lot of people who are going to be listening to this podcast, it's probably going to sound a little bit strange hearing that, because typically companies or organizations don't think in terms of what will be, you know, an initiative that's fundamentally going to have to last over years to have to reach its full potential. Can you explain how your company looks at an initiative that it's like, hey, it's going to take us a long period of time for this to reach get to where we want it to get to? Because quite often boards and senior management tend to have shorter term goals that they need to meet. So how do you address that mix?
Yeah. So as I said, we changed brand statement and the direction we have is we want to expand our business size as well, but we want to be a social brand. in team sports. The social brand is like the brand that perceived who contribute and try to solve social issue. So that is like a great our North Star we want to achieve. Of course, we need to sales, but on the other hand, we need to like an initiative that we want to be a social brand. So the my project is like in between. We started like more social issue driven project, but now we have a lot of, you know, network and a lot of insight. So how we can shift to the business. So that, you know, companies think the idea is embed our organization. That is the one. And another one is, as I said, I work in, you know, Danone and, you know, FMCG brand.
Yeah.
And, you know, this brand is really need quick win. Yes. Change packaging, change ingredient, change functional claim. So this is way we used to do, but I know that process. So utilize that, how we can make quicker when we figure out like an insight from when in basketball. So we need to make it hurry if we can do, but we need the time to digest because women in basketball, women's sports is, you know, always work with. So we need to know. Yeah.
Yeah, it's, you know, and I don't want to give listeners an incorrect vision that you're just about women's sports, because obviously not. You know, it's not just basketball, it's soccer. And just interesting that this time it's like it's the right time. And to me, it's also very interesting to hear that you're looking at it as a social engagement first rather than a commercial engagement. It's like, if we engage socially, the commercial benefits will come later, which is probably a way that companies just don't generally operate that way. It's a very different approach. I mean, me personally, I think it's innovative, but I think ultimately it's going to be successful because longer term, you're incrementally developing your market. Because you are providing a social benefit, you will get people it'll inspire more brand loyalty, I think.
Yeah. So that's why, so as I said, like a brand awareness level is still challenging for us in global. Mm. So that's why we started from this. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm kind of curious to ask, what is next for Molten in the basketball space? I know you've got some stuff that you may or may not be able to talk about, but, you know, there must be more that Molten's looking to do in the future with basketball. What can you let us in on?
Yeah, I think there are two directions, and one is women's basketball. And I personally want a little bit transform the basketball as a physical sport to more entertain or exercise way.
Okay.
And also, if you look at like a stat, women's game is, I think, I love women's game. But from data point of view, there's a not developed like a stats figure. Yeah. I think there's something we can show clearly. This is like a, how to say, like a measurement that women's sports, women basketball is great. So I want to look for that some stats or, you know, data we can stand out to promote women's game. That is one, women's sports. And another one, we started selling product in Japan, but this is really good reaction, which is basketball in your house, in your room.
Okay.
Maybe Australia, there is a, you know, huge house space. If you know, as you know, the Japan and Europe is very small space.
Yeah.
The product we launched was real touch basketball. And if you bounce with the mat,
okay,
there's a huge noise. So people can play in the room.
Okay.
Which is getting popular in Japan. And I share that product in friend in the FIBA Europe. She love it. So it's like a depend on the culture and where you live, but we can provide opportunity to play basketball in the room.
That's, I mean, look, for Japan, obviously, I mean, I remember when we were there, the apartment space was very limited. So being able to do that at home is just amazing. But I could see the popularity of that, particularly, you know, some kids, particularly those who live in apartments, who even here in Australia, who don't have a court anywhere nearby, have an opportunity to be able to play or practice mm-hmm. in their room. That's a great idea. I think it's brilliant.
So we have like a dribble set and we have like a shooting set. It's like a less noise.
Yeah.
Actually, like a ball is ball and mat is really great product. It's generate wow. It's like a normal touch in the ball and the bound rebound is like a similar you bounce in the arena. So it's great, you know, exercise for kids and, you know, yeah, in the room.
It's, I suppose it would be really good for people who just want to practice their footwork.
Yeah.
As well. Okay. Look, Noah, thank you so much for joining us and talking us through Moulton is doing and also what Moulton's doing with women's basketball globally. I think there's so many opportunities that you've developed here. I'm really looking forward to seeing how things are going to evolve over the next couple of years with the company and these products. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Make sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you get our latest pod. And we really appreciate if we could get a like and a review so we can extend the reach to more listeners. And don't forget, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn.